All right, we're going to be joined now by Karen Kingston. She's the former Pfizer employee. She comes on here and gives us an update from time to time. Karen, welcome back to Lindell TV. Thank you for joining us. Karen, you with us? Logan, we got Karen?
I was on mute.
You're on mute? All right, there you go. How are you doing tonight, Karen?
I'm good. I want to comment on what you said, but at first I have a word of Proverbs 23:9. As far as if we're going to see justice, I'm not sure, but it says, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Mm. Yeah, so they will never confess to the sins that they've committed and the treason and the betrayal. But, you know, you're right, this country's been, it's in chaos, we've been deceived, and the foundation of that is actually the epitome of what that new secretary of, I don't know what the title is.
He's assistant secretary of energy there now.
Yeah, I mean, so the way that people are manipulated and deceived and kind of fall into this chaotic darkness is the first thing you do is you eliminate absolute truth. So the basic of our existence is the difference between man and woman. So if you say that no longer exists and it's they and them, then from there, you can create complete chaos and redefine any word that you want.
Isn't it interesting, Karen, that they're trying to redefine sexuality and they're also trying to redefine humanity? Think about that. They're trying to redefine sexuality and a fluidness of men and women and boys and girls with this transgender and fluid stuff. So they're trying to redefine sexuality and gender while they're also trying to redefine what it actually means to be human. Would you agree?
Yeah, well, they're creating this confusion about what it means to be human by creating the fluidity between men and women, which does not exist. And then they want to introduce artificial intelligence and give them genders. And they don't have genders. They're robots. They are not human. So, yeah, this is all part of the plan. But if you eliminate the basic foundation of the difference between man and woman, from there, they just start redefining everything.
Absolutely.
So, you're defining what makes you a human and what makes you a man and a woman. And then the other thing, they want authority over our bodies and our children's bodies. We're in quite a mess.
Yes,
for sure.
We are. Well, let's go to your PowerPoint slides because we've got 28 minutes. And tonight we have implemented music. I've been promising it for weeks and months. We actually implemented bumper music tonight for Mike Lindell's show. It's coming from mine. So at 9 o'clock, the computer starts bumper music at the 59 mark, and by 9 o'clock, the computer takes it away to Diamond and Silk. So we got 28 minutes, Karen.
All right, but did you have, I don't know if you know who Yuval Noah Harari is. He's the advisor. You should show a video next time I come back on, but he's advisor to Klaus Schwab.
Do you want me to show a video now? Did you send me a video to show?
I sent it earlier this week. I don't think I resent it.
Okay.
But the whole point is that he said this whole concept of free will is over, that they figured out how to hack humans. And, you know, this concept that we have a connection to God, he said, it is over. There is no God up in the clouds. He goes, the clouds that are going to control humans are the IBM cloud, right? The Adobe cloud.
What day did you send me that? Do you know?
I can resend it right now, but I don't want to interrupt. But, you know, the idea is that he does speak to, you know, he's an advisor to Klaus Schwab. And
what's his name?
Yuval Noah Harari.
Okay, yeah, resend it. I think everybody would like to see that.
Okay. All right, let me resend it.
Uh-huh. I think everybody would like to see that. I'm looking for it in the meantime.
I should be able to find it in like 2 seconds and get it off to you. So, it's very interesting. Why can't I see it? Oh, you know what? I texted it to you because you told me to email it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I tell you what, let's do this. Let's get started. And while you're talking, we'll get it over to Logan and we'll play it before the show's over. How's that?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's show this slide, Logan, and we'll have her explaining this one.
So the reason why I'm showing this is because of what Yuval Harari was talking about, which is gene editing. This is the master patent on Moderna. I know you guys have seen sections of this before. I'm going to try to go through this quickly. So this is the patent for all mRNA technology. It is specifically for gene editing. So, it says triple helix formation. That is creating something not of God's kingdom. Some of the stuff that's interesting, though, is that this genetic editing technology can also be used to reverse the mRNA, which is genetic editing. So RNA I, with a little I after it, is actually gene silencing technology to turn mRNA off. So once this country and global citizens recognize that they're harmed and they've been betrayed, and I do believe that's happening, we can then bring forward solutions to heal people and try to stop this demonic attempt and attack on humanity and God's children. So go on to the next slide. So this is, again, about gene editing. These are nucleotides, AGCT, right? This is, it's what makes up codons that make up RNA strands and DNA strands. And these are just called untranslated regions. Go on to the next slide. I'm going to go real quick. I'm just showing you guys that it's in the patent. This says here that what this technology can do, so what the vaccines can do is they can take codons, they can take genetic sequences from anything that's wild type, anything found in nature, so from any species, from humans, from bats, from monkeys, from apes, from fish, from slugs, from worms, from insects, or viruses and bacteria, and they can also take synthetic genetic sequences, so anything made in the lab with Barrick and Fauci, like HIV glycoprotein 120. So this is just saying we can create genetic sequences for viruses and new species from anything that's found in nature and anything that we create in a lab. And that's the intention. This is a genetic editing technology. There's no gray area. It's not a vaccine. So go on to the next slide. This, again, table four from this patent, it says, and I've shown this before on your show, it does contain luciferase. The purpose of luciferase is for hybridization. That's creating a new species. That's creating a new chimeric virus. It's to create hybrids. It's just very clear. And luciferase has its own genetic sequence. It's from an insect from that glows in the Appalachian Mountains. Go to the next slide. You can see it right here. I pulled these before. I'm going really fast. And it also is used as an assay, which is a fancy word for test. So there's a chemical reaction. It gives off a color. So you know you had successful introduction of new genetic material. Go on to the next slide. So the point of what I'm trying to show you is that these quote-unquote vaccines, their intention was never for immunity. It was genetic editing to introduce new genetic material into humans. So this goes on to explain that in this protocol, and they're talking about using luciferase, cells transfected with luciferase. Transfected means cells that had new genetic material introduced to them from this firefly genetic sequence are lysed. The outside of the plasmid cell is weakened using a buffer. So go on to the next slide. What is a buffer? A buffer basically thins out the walls of a cell to allow for successful introduction of new genetic material. Here's a buffer we've seen before. It's called TRIS, T-R-I-S. You can order this off of Thermo Fisher site or Sigma Aldrich site. So it's used in labs for the introduction of new genetic materials into cells. Go on to the next slide. This is the October 26, 2021 EU authorization for children ages 5 to 11 years old for the Pfizer-BioNTech product. Go on to the next slide. As you can see right there at the bottom second paragraph, I underlined it. This is for use in children 5 to 11 years of age using trimethamine, parentheses, TRIS buffer. This is not TRAM, which is the trimethamine hydrochloride that is traditionally used by cardiologists. This is actually a buffer that's used to introduce new genetic material. The narrative is that this is typically found in other vaccines and some immunosuppressants. But right now we've got TRIS, which we just saw is used to introduce new genetic material, and luciferase. So there's two agents so far in these vaccines that facilitate with successful genetic introduction from foreign species or viruses. Go on to the next slide. This is Pfizer's, Pfizer-BioNTech was approved. They issued NDC codes on August 23rd. They retracted them. These are the new NDC codes that they issued from, you can get this on the NIH database or the FDA database, so I just want to show that to you. But right here, you can see it has trimethamine in it. This is TRIS, and they have trimethamine hydrochloride in it, which is TRAM. So this is for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine and the new NDC code, so the new approved version that was allegedly manufactured on December 22nd of 2021. So that's also news, I guess. Go on to the next slide. So you can see TRIS, trimethamine, and TRAM are also in Spikevax. They're also in the Moderna vaccine. This is the approval that happened last week. You can see that this also contains TRIS, which is used in buffering for the transfection, for introduction of new genetic material. It also contains TRAM, trimethamine hydrochloride. So just showing you guys what's in here. Go on to the next slide real quick. Transfection, as I said, is used to introduce new nucleic acids of RNA or DNA into cells. That is the purpose of it. And it changes the properties of the cell. So you change the genetic makeup of cells, and eventually you start changing the genetic makeup of tissues, and then of organs, and then of the species or the being. Go on to the next slide. This is another slide, another agent called plasmid DNA. This is a press release from AGC Biologics, where they are announcing how happy they are that they're providing plasmid DNA for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine. It says right here, AGC Biologics will manufacture and supply BioNTech with plasmid DNA starting material, an essential component of BioNTech's mRNA-based vaccine manufacturing process. What is this used for? Go on to the next slide. Plasmid DNA, oh, I didn't have it. It's used for transfection. So you can look it up. It's used for transfection and cloning. It's used for the introduction and replication of new genetic material. This is from the patent I just showed you on Moderna's website. This is showing HeLa and vascular endothelial growth factor. What is VEGF? It's endothelial growth factor. It promotes the growth of blood vessels. They are showing in this study when they successfully combine VEGF with HeLa cells, the immortal cancer cell, the most aggressive cancer that we know, that duplicates over and over and over again without stopping. They have much faster acceleration and growth of these cancer cells and blood vessels. This is a cancerous tumor growing combo that can also be put in these vaccines.
So, and of course, then they can decide who they want to give those to, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we wonder why some people, after just within a couple weeks of getting an inoculation from the vaccines, you know, whether they were in remission, but how do they have a stage four metastases just in 2 weeks after the second shot? It may be more than just the natural immunosuppression, or the unnatural immunosuppression that's going on. It may be because they were actually injected with cancer cells. I mean, this is truly this evil. And this is something that they need to, I mean, these crimes are the most horrific thing I think we've ever seen unleashed in humanity. Actually, I know it is.
Absolutely. We have that video. Let's play the video because it'll give context to why we're going through this slide. Yeah. Go to that video, Logan, please.
Now, in the past, many tyrants and governments wanted to do it, but nobody understood biology well enough. And nobody had enough computing power and data to hack millions of people. Neither the Gestapo nor the KGB could do it. But soon, at least some corporations and governments will be able to systematically hack all the people. We humans should get used to the idea that we are no longer mysterious souls. We are now hackable animals. Data might enable human elites to do something even more radical than just build digital dictatorships. By hacking organisms, elites may gain the power to re-engineer the future of life itself. Because once you can hack something, you can usually also engineer it. And if indeed we succeed in hacking and engineering life, this will be not just the greatest revolution in the history of humanity. This will be the greatest revolution in biology since the very beginning of life, 4 billion years ago. For 4 billion years, nothing fundamental changed in the basic rules of the game of life. All of life, for 4 billion years, dinosaurs, amoebas, tomatoes, humans, all of life was subject to the laws of natural selection and to the laws of organic biochemistry. But this is now about to change. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design and the intelligent design of our clouds, the IBM cloud, the Microsoft cloud, these are the new driving forces of evolution. And at the same time, science may enable life, after being confined for 4 billion years to the limited realm of organic compounds, science may enable life to break out into the inorganic realm. So after 4 billion years of organic life shaped by natural selection, we are entering the era of inorganic life shaped by intelligent design. So does the data about my DNA, my brain, my body, my life, does it belong to me or to some corporation or to the government or perhaps to the human collective? Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will. That's over. Free will, that's over.
That's over.
Over. Today, we have the technology to hack human beings on a massive scale. Yeah, I mean, everything is being digitalized. Everything is being monitored. In this time of crisis, you have to follow science. It's often said that you should never allow a good crisis to go to waste because a crisis is an opportunity to also do good reforms that in normal times people will never agree to. But in a crisis, you see we have no chance. So let's do it.
Vaccine won't help us go
the
to the test, of course.
The vaccine will help us, of course. It will make things, you know, more manageable.
Surveillance. People could look back in 100 years and identify the coronavirus epidemic as the moment when a new regime of surveillance took over, especially surveillance under the skin, which I think is maybe the most important development of the 21st century, is this ability to hack human beings, to go under the skin, collect biometric data, analyze it and understand people better than they understand themselves. This, I believe, is maybe the most important event of the 21st century.
One of the features of this fourth industrial revolution is that it doesn't change what we are doing, but it changes us.
The difference of this fourth industrial revolution is it doesn't change what you are doing. It changes you if you take a genetic editing,
right.
Just as an example. It's you who are changed, yeah. And of course this has a big impact on your identity.
Yeah. And offers certain kinds of possibilities that have to be careful about. You know, when you began to do that kind of gene editing, some people worry that you are changing what it means to be human.
That's the problem. Of course, the new industrial revolution offers us many opportunities, but it raises many fold questions on the ethical, but even legal implications. And we have to be prepared for it. And that's what we want to do in Davos next year.
Talk about technology and how the ways it can be deployed, you know, that contribute to growth rather than exacerbate unemployment. How will that implement itself?
It's a big question mark because there is a fear that technology, robots, just to take one.
Yeah. You gain productivity from machines.
Exactly. And it replaces maybe the workforce or jobs faster than we can replace them with the new jobs. Not everybody can be a robot polisher and so on. So there will be new jobs.
Good grief. You notice he keeps talking about billions of years, and now they're going to basically speed it up and be able to use the technology to rocket. And this really, that other guy, he sounds like he might be on the secular humanist side. He doesn't believe in the soul and God and free will and all this. So it sounds like he may be denying the spiritual world and only believing in the natural world. I'd have to read more of him to find out. In the natural world, I'd have to read more of him to find out. In the natural world, I'd have to read more of him to find out. In the natural world, I'd have to read more of him to find out. The humanist or the naturalist is going to want to extend life as a transhumanist because they believe when you die, that's it, lights out, no man has no soul, it's over. So they're going to want to go as long as you can, kind of like the movie that we've seen, the guy running around in the red suit. What was that guy called?
Santa Claus? I don't know.
No, Santa Claus. Logan, what's the guy that flies around the red suit and flies?
Santa Claus.
Iron Man. That's kind of a transhumanism. Iron Man, where machine and human become one. That's a kind of a form of transhumanism. So you could see where the secular humanist wants to try to use this to keep going, but the cosmic humanist who believes in the spiritual realm and spiritual evolution wants to get beyond the naturalistic natural selection, as they were talking about, and rocket past biological evolution to spiritual evolution. And so you could see where both groups, rather secular humanists or New Age cosmic humanists, could both see this technology as it is advancing. But notice at the end of the day, it's ultimately about control, absolute control.
It's about them, it's about them playing God.
Yep.
They do not believe in God. They don't believe in Christ. At best, they're atheists. At worst, they're satanic, demonic people. And they figured out the code that God used to make us perfectly in his image. And now they've decided they're going to play God. And they've been doing this for decades. It's been in the dark, what's been going on in biotech. They've created species. We have it in our everyday life. There's hybrid fruits and vegetables and animals. I know there's like some salmon insect thing that's been made. So we've had this in our life every day, and now it's merged with artificial intelligence, and that is a demonic merger between AI and the biotech industry.
But so you heard him mention that. You heard him mention artificial intelligence.
Yeah, I did. And we just watched that video, and you've all talked about that too, taking the inorganic and marrying it with the organic. So I'm just going to read real quick from, don't pull up the slides because I didn't put these in there. So I just went through how you can take synthetic and non-synthetically made viruses and genetic strands and introduce them into the cells. But as you go through here, I want to be clear, people are injected with artificial intelligence and advanced operating system. Section 219 says that they're talking about the injections. In another embodiment, the polymer-based self-assembled nanoparticles, such as but not limited to microsponges, may be programmable nanoparticles. So they're saying they're self-assembly and they're programmable. It goes on to say that the inorganic nanoparticles may comprise a core of modified nucleic acids, such as semiconductive and metallic nanoparticles. The mRNA in this invention may be formulated in water-dispersed nanoparticles comprising semiconductive or metallic material. So that's basically, then it just repeats it kind
and
of.
What are you reading from?
I'm reading from the patent. I was just showing you. It's patent 1073789. It's the Moderna patent. Section 219 says that you're going to be injected with self-assembling lipid nanoparticles that are made of semiconductive material that you can then put programs in. You can pre-program them to build things. So those long things that look like blood clots, or they're finding them, that could actually be liquid fibrin, because right in section 220, they say we can put liquid fibrin in, which is used to, in surgeries and also causes blood clotting. It's like this fibrous material.
So when we see these undertakers, as I watched a video the other day, with an undertaker, and I've interviewed one of them from over Great Britain, talking about these thick, thick things that they're pulling out with their forceps that are so thick, that's going to be what they're talking about.
Yeah, people were hypothesizing it could be the parasite that some people saw underneath the microscope combined with Ares, the artificial intelligence. Or it could be a program from a 3D printing program called Print, and there's another program called Liquid Technologies, and the nanoparticles could have been programmed to then build out vasculature using liquid fibrin, and that was all delivered in these devices.
This nanotechnology where when they get into you, some of these doctors have mixed it with blood and start seeing them connecting, like they're building some kind of system. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, exactly, and it's deriving it's
inside your body. It's building this like this communication system or structure.
Yes, yeah, and it's also doing gene editing while it's inside your body as well, and it's also, if it's got the liquid fibrin, it's building out synthetic tissues.
All right, let's keep moving. What's this slide here?
Okay, so we're gonna go quick. So I had just shown you three products that were in the patent that allowed for introduction of new genetic material. Right, we talked about plasmid DNA, we talked about luciferase, and we talked about Tris. This is also, this is how they make humanized mice. And I'm sorry, it's a little bit, they take fetal embryonic cells that are still alive, embryonic cells, then they might take like human embryonic cells or liver cells. They coat them with this CD34, which makes the mouse's body immune system not attack the new genetic material. this is important when they're making humanized mice, because they want the receptor cells in their lungs or kidneys to be the same as humans, they submit them to radiation because that also suppresses the immune system. So by suppressing the immune system, that allows for the integration of the new genetic material. How is this related to what's going on with the vaccines? Go on to the next slide. It's not here right now. Sorry, I thought, just leave it up here. So the Office of the Department of Central Intelligence, National Intelligence, I'm sorry, put out a request for proposal for measuring radiation, low-grade radiation in humans. And it's headed up by Avril Haines. She oversees all of our intelligence agencies, including the CIA, the FBI. But then many people don't know that there's an intelligence agency in every branch of our military, in the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice. So there's 16 intelligence agencies. Just go on to the next slide.
And I think there's actually, I'm told by one guy that used to provide this technology to them through collecting data from satellites, that there actually might be 18, but maybe we don't. Maybe they don't want us to know what the other two are.
Probably. And I found out about this agency. The other important part is, no, it's fine. The other important part is, Avril Haines, she's the director right now of all the central intelligence agencies, or national intelligence agencies, her team provides the daily briefings to Biden. So why is this important? Because Avril Haines was during the Obama administration, she was the assistant to the president and the principal deputy national security advisor from 2015 through 2017. And she was also the deputy director of the CIA from 2013 to 2015. It's her and her team that are now advising Biden. So, yes, we're still being advised by Obama. Go on to the next slide.
Absolutely.
And this kind of cracked me up. So in April of last year, she had to testify in front of the Senate as far as what the central our national intelligence committees knew about the origins of COVID, of SARS-CoV-2. And she said, the intelligence community does not know exactly where, when, or how the COVID virus was transmitted initially. She said there's two theories that emerge from a human contact with infected animals or the result of a lab accident. Go on to the next slide. If she had just read the reports from the CIA or the NIH or the DOD from her intelligence communities, she would have known it was made in a lab in Wuhan. This is the EcoHealth Alliance pitch. The vice president, Andrew Huff, was a whistleblower who worked here, saying they often got requests for proposals from IARPA. And in 2015, he got a request for proposal regarding emerging infectious diseases regarding MERS and other coronaviruses throughout the country to give to our director of intelligence committees. So this is all connected. Go on. So the proposal that I, go on to the next slide. The proposal that I found, because I looked into IARPA, because I wanted to know how are they involved with these vaccines or bioweapons. This proposal was just put out in September 29th of last year. It was closed in December. And what the intelligence community is looking for, new ways to identify exposure events associated with low-dose radiation and the investigation of intentional or accidental exposures. What they said was, you can break the share right now. What they explain in this proposal is that normally there's been high levels of exposure for radiation because it was normally by an accident, like a Chernobyl, like a catastrophe. But here they want intentional like exposure that's happening. So, and they also said that it's usually very invasive, and by the time they get the sample, it's transient, so the level of radiation goes down. So my question is, why now do they need to be doing surveillance for low-dose radiation exposure that could be intentional? And why did all the 5G towers go up during lockdown in 2020? So keep going through this proposal.
And we've got 2 minutes.
Okay, so normally they said we can't measure radiation exposure like we used to because it's invasive, obvious, and serial. Go on to the next slide. Keep going. So scraping, keep going. So what they've been doing with the PCR test, you can see they're like, we can't keep doing this. It's too obvious that we're connecting genetic material. Keep going. They keep going. That's what it was being. So they say they're not going to focus on clinical outcomes, but then they think doctors are going to focus on clinical outcomes.
Wow. Okay, we're going to have you back. Slow it down a little bit. Karen Kingston, her website is myfight.com, M-I-Fight, myfight.com. Fascinating. This is transhumanism. We got to have Patrick Wood on later this week as well, this next week. Karen, thank you so much for bringing this to us. We'll get you back and go through it some more and slow it down a little bit.
Okay, yeah, the data is all going to the cloud somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Thank you, Karen.